Welcome to Vikings After Show on AfterBuzz TV Network. This is Season 5, Episode 19. What happens in the cave apparently stays there?
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
You get it, right? Because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and what happens in the cave stays... Ah, sorry.
But hi-hat.
Thank you. Somebody picked up on that. Hi. I missed you guys so much. I'm James. This is the Vikings AfterBuzz show. I'm here with Al and Yaku, and I have been gone for like 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you. 2 weeks is good. 2 weeks is enough for all of us.
You're like, that was enough. We had enough of James for a while, and now he's back. And I'm telling you guys right now, I'm showing you, I'm fighting a head cold. This is some serious stuff. I might be blowing my nose, and I'm going to put this cough drop in right now because this voice is going to go in about 5 minutes. So to save my voice for y'all, I'm going to put this cough drop in while Al and Yaku talk.
Hey, what up, guys? Glad to be back. It's your boy Al again, a.k.a. Full Half Black.
That's right.
Hello, Full Half Black. This is Yaku Full on White. I am happy to be here, and I want to say hi to Super Banana. We've got Emily, we've got Ariadne, we've got Merly, we've got HVG in the comments. Welcome, y'all. Thank you so much, and make sure to throw all your comments and thoughts in the comments so we can read them out. We've got them right here. See? There you guys are.
There you guys are. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit remiss about saying hello to the people who listen to us on podcasts, by the way. No shade. I don't mean to be that way, but I honestly, in 5 years, 4 years of doing this, I don't think I've shout out the podcast listeners, but about 4 or 5 times. My apologies. So podcast listeners, we appreciate you listening as well. Thank you everybody for jumping in.
Shout out to the pod people.
Shout out to the pod people. season 19, pod people, season 19, season 5, episode 19.
That's right.
Cold medicine. So, you know, this is no shade whatsoever, but you know that there are sometimes those episodes where you just gotta, like, tell some stories just to, like, move the plot along.
You haven't been here for 2 weeks. I literally said the exact same thing 2 weeks ago in a row. So, I think we've been moving on the plot for 3 episodes in a row right now.
We've been laying the groundwork.
We've been laying the groundwork, which leaves one episode for shit to happen.
To get ready for stuff to get popping. Word. And it apparently is all descending on Catacut, which, of course, is what... We're not going to talk about Catacut last. We're going to talk about Catacut second to last. But that's where everything is defending on. Mm. Whew, good morning,
head
James.
Cold.
Thank you. So, as y'all know, we go by storyline here. I think y'all appreciate that. Yaku did an excellent job of setting this up earlier, but please do not forget that we are reading your comments in the live feed right now. We always read your comments afterwards. Y'all are part of the show, so please join along. And there's a couple of new people in the room right now, so welcome for you first-timers.
Speaking of in the room, James, we've got HFG saying, I used to be a pod person, now I am here live, which is it's amazing to kind of get y'all over here, and you guys can see us, and we can hear you, and we talk together, and it's awesome. And
two people.
The guy making that awesome sound effects is here with us as well.
What up, Steve?
Hey.
There he is. Boop. Storyline number one. Let's just get this out the way because it was actually Ariadne. It was the first thing you talked about in the room, on YouTube in the chat room, and I agree with this. Although we're in Iceland, we're talking about Floki. We're in the cave. Floki thinks it's hell, right?
Or he's looking for the gates of hell.
He wants to go to hell.
He's finding the dwarfs,
which is cool. Like, I mean, if he feels like that's ready, all the shit that went down in the last 2 weeks in Iceland, I probably want to go to hell too. Like, that was some crazy stuff.
As if they weren't already in hell, though. I thought they could have been in hell, man.
Word, Al. Yeah. They were in hell. So then, like, what? Man, I guess the acting was really good.
Like, well, that's about all that happened there. So,
yeah, Mr. Skarsgård, like, congratulations. Yeah.
Look, a lot of people in this live chat in the previous episode said that he is an amazing actor. We know this because we have watched 5 seasons of Vikings, but they really haven't used him. Michael Hurst, you're not using Floki. Where's my ding ding? Where's my ding?
If I can help you, then if you don't know where your ding ding is, we can help you.
Floki's ding ding. Don't get nasty on me right now. This guy.
But a bum.
He's amazing, and I feel like we're not using him. But essentially, in this entire scene, the episode is named after him. We don't know what happened to Floki. A lot of people in the comments saying carbon monoxide. I'm thinking sulfur. He's going to die. The volcano's there. The point is, he is searching for something. And what does he find?
He finds a cross.
A mother effing Christian cross.
A Christian cross. Can you believe?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like, Jesus! Excellent, Al. Excellent. Merle, I hope that was a good explanation, by the way. I saw you in the room here that you needed us to sort of explain what was going on. And I believe, Merle, we are happy to do that for you as much as we need to. You guys in the room can help Merle out as well. Long story short, Floki walks into this cave. He thinks it's the gates to hell. He's like, I see the dwarves. We're going to hell, which is like kind of a good thing, I guess. And then all of a sudden he gets there and there's a big ass cross right in the middle of hell. So the Christians were there first. And
so
then,
at first he's laughing. He's kind of laughing because he's like, you know, he's like, it's hilarious.
The absurdity.
Like, sense of humor. And then he starts crying and like yelling out of anger and fear and patheticness because he's like second to none of all people. He's second to the Christians.
And it's almost like his whole journey, I don't want to say it's been for naught, but it's been not for his expectations, not what he thought.
Not what he thought at all. The killings, the lack of fertile land, the lack of peaceful people. Now he's like, fine, I'll go to hell. And he can't even get right in hell. Like
Can't even do that right.
Right. Floki, you can't even do hell right.
Floki came to Jesus, literally.
Love it. Steve is giving me life with this music right now in the background. I hope you guys can hear that. I can't throw this paper about Floki yet because my notes for the next two scenes are on the other side. But I'll throw it in a minute, I promise you. So I think that's it. It was really interesting. I don't know if a volcano actually went off or like what's going on.
Yeah, no, it was a legit explosion. I was in Mount Etna a few months ago. It exploded while we were walking up the mountain. Mount Etna is the biggest volcano in Europe. It's in Sicily. It looks exactly the same without the lava. Okay.
Really?
Without the lava. No, I'm dead serious. Like it was awesome.
You were on a volcano when it went off,
yes.
Yaku?
Like you walk.
So it wasn't a special supernatural event because Floki was convening with the gods. It just happens all the time.
A seismic eruption of sorts.
Yeah. Okay. It's just a blue vein.
Did it mean anything or no?
Well,
that's the problem. We never know if anything means anything. Is it God?
Definitely means. Come on. Like, everything in this story is double, like, what, a double-sided, double-sense, double-bladed, what do you want to call this?
Entendre.
Like, this definitely meant something. The fact that he's coming, they've seen the cross, and then the fucking black explodes, like, come on.
Right. Ah, very interesting.
Just another notch on Floki's journey to find the gods as he goes deeper and deeper into this spiritual journey.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys want to let us know what you think this spiritual journey meant, let us know in the live comments, but also in the permanent comments, because you guys always give us some amazing insight. Like the previous episode, I don't know if you went and read the episode, the links, but there you guys have so many inputs. So make sure to let us know what is the point of the eruption other than just a volcano erupting.
I have a prediction. Well, maybe should I save this for later?
Save the prediction.
I'll save the prediction.
Write it down, though. Don't forget it.
Let's cross the ocean. Let's go sail.
We're sailing. Speaking of sailing, that is our second plot issue storyline that was going on here. So we have King Harald. King Harald is all of a sudden this zero, giving zero Fs lately, and I kind of love it. Like, he kind of is just like, well, whatever. So anyways, Harald and Magnus and Bjorn and all these people are in the seas. It's a storm, and people jump falling overboard, and all of a sudden Magnus is like, oh, Lord Jesus, save me, help me.
Lord Jesus,
whatever you do. And we meet Amma, who is the darkest-haired Viking I have ever seen,
nice.
By the way.
Good for her.
Right. Bjorn's like, watch, dude. Magnus doesn't know what he's doing on the open seas, right? He grew up in York, like, whatever. And he's like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. And Amma, in the middle of this, Amma's like, why are you hollering at Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, why are you hollering at Jesus? I know we're going to get you, but I feel like we have to call this out at this point, James, where Uber also had a coming to sense moment. So as soon as Magnus was terrified, he had fear, he called out to Jesus. As soon as Uber was terrified at fear, he called out to Odin.
Look at you making parallels.
So we'll get to that massive, juicy storyline in a second. But before we get there, I just want to draw that comparison. So, that being said, who are you really? And that brings it out in you. Fear, close to death. And so, is he now, once again, really Ragnar's son? Or is he just a Christian Wessex person pretending?
I feel like Michael Hurst right now. I don't know if you're watching, Mr. Hurst. Always, as always, thank you. I feel like Michael Hurst is literally standing and applauding right now because he wrote and directed this episode. Skull.
Skull.
And I bet you he wrote those parallels into the episode on purpose, Shaku. And yeah. I don't know if it's just because you're smarter than me and Al, or I'm on a bunch of cough medicine or what, but you just picked right up on, like, Magnus was, like, hollering for Jesus and Uba was hollering for the gods when they both were at moments of, like, I'm fixing to die.
And Floki's looking for God. Well, it's the same journey Ragnar's been on ever since day one, right? From the first season, Ragnar was on a spiritual journey. Is it Christ? Is it Odin? Is it Valhalla? Is it heaven? Same thing. Hangman was on his journey, too. He felt tested. I don't know. I feel like the whole thing has been a journey, a spiritual journey for who is your God. And I have kind of like an answer what I think the screenwriter is saying, but I'll save that for later.
Write your prediction out. All right. Al's got all kind of predictions already. I love it. So we end up getting somewhere.
Well, we're lost.
We run into some land, but of course Bjorn, because Bjorn's been all over the world, or the known world at this point, he's like, I recognize those mountains. We just need to climb over those mountains and take back Kattegat. And, oh, by the way, King Harald, like, let's fight.
Let's fight, exactly, because they're getting... And you guys called it out in the comments. Once again, you guys are so smart. You called it out in the comments in the previous episode. Like, at some point, there's going to cross, and you said that Bjorn was going to kill King Harald. But these guys are fighting. But on that point just before, when they said, well, where are we? It's like, I recognize those mountains. Like you said, he traveled a lot. I, at that moment, completely 100% thought it was possible for him to be like, yeah, that's the dunes of the Sahara in Egypt.
Right.
Or that's Mount Etna in Sicily. Like, he's just been so many places. I was just waiting for him to like... But no, these guys are fighting. But so why are they so frustrated with each other?
Well, I was going to say, if from the point of view of an audience member, I felt like at least I related to King Harald in that we don't know where the F we are. You say you know where we're going. We don't know. These look like mountains familiar. Maybe they're not. We're out. Why are we here? You know what I mean? Should you kill me? Should I kill you? You know, it's kind of like we're kind of screwed. And I was glad they kind of like it all came to a head.
Yep.
Basically, they needed to have it out. You know, either you're going to kill me or I'm gonna kill you. Doesn't really matter, but let's get it popping because I'm tired of like wandering around with like a chicken with my head cut off.
And well, and that, but that sensation, Al, what you're talking about, that's a very, the whole time I was like, this is just a dude thing. These are just two dudes who don't know how to talk about their emotions, right? like if they just wanted to like sit down and be like, I'm really scared, I'm actually really frustrated that we're in a place where I didn't think we would end up.
That I lost half my fleet, that I lost half my men.
For your idea.
And I don't even know if I like you, if I'm like Ivar, if
who's
going to
be king. This is a lot of confusing in this scenario. But, and you said, James, that you, and you said King Harald is kind of like lackadaisical lately. The most lackadaisical person in the show is Bjorn. Half the ships just sank. Half the army is gone. Mm. He doesn't give a shit.
Right.
Well, it's like, not his army to start with, but...
Well, which is a good point. I mean, I think what you're saying is, too, Bjorn is probably lackadaisical, maybe the most reckless, maybe fearless / reckless. They go hand in hand. But I also relate to Harald. He's the one who has more skin in the game. These aren't his soldiers. So these are Harald's soldiers. So I was wondering at what point in time. I always thought he went along a little too easily with Bjorn's idea. I'm glad they kind of settled it out and kind of, you know, because sometimes you gotta work it out like that.
They didn't.
They'll settle it out with like what Tiffany said in the comments. You're cracking me up, Tiffany. She said there's a whole bunch of pimp slapping going on in this episode. That was true. I think they did. They just
the
needed
true
to,
pimp
like,
stepped in.
Right. They just needed to like fight it out. You're right. And then the true pimp, Gunhild, stepped in and she was like, y'all are stupid.
Stop acting like some little yachts.
Typical dudes. Right. Well, typical dudes. Fighting about nothing. She's like, you both want to be king and you both trying to kill Ivar. So why don't we handle our business first?
And then
if y'all need to fight, y'all can fight later. I was like, get him, Gunhild. Mm-hmm. That was it, too. Mm-hmm. That was her shit
for
this episode.
She put the smack down. She walked in.
She punches Bjorn, tells them both off, walks off, drops the mic. We don't see her the rest of the episode.
A punch would have been fine. She bitch slapped him.
Yeah, she did. She
right.
Did.
But and so this storyline comes to end now where that Amma is saying to Bjorn, did you know that your brother is a Christian?
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is where this storyline kind of almost ends.
And then that's really like it, right?
That's it before. But let's go to...
What happens next?
Well, let's go to Vitserk.
Vitserk. Right. So almost, I can almost throw it away. Almost. The Thank you guys again for your comments here. Podcast listeners, we appreciate you listening. Everyone watching on YouTube after the live show, we appreciate your comments. Keep them coming in. We really do read these comments, guys, and I know we don't always like get back to you and comment on everything, but we really do read them. We appreciate the feedback because this show is all about you. Y'all are the fourth host. You're technically the fourth and a half host because we still got to give love to Carrie, who would normally be here. Carrie, we love you. We miss you. Vitzerk and dude with the best earrings ever, King Olaf, are like just trudging along. And I love that King Harald is like, I don't know if I'm going to kill you, Bjorn, or I'm going to kill Ivar. And then King Olaf is also like, I don't know, Vitzerk, if I still, like, am down with this plan. Am I really with Ivar? I love that everyone is just like, even when we get to Wessex later on, Uba is like, am I Christian? Am I not? Am I staying here? Like, everyone's all indecisive.
Everyone's second-guessing each other.
Right, but they're like, well, I guess I just better go to Catacut to figure it out. Like, that's the theme of this episode.
But is that not the story of life? How often do we proceed into things and we think we're 100%, but then we question after we've taken a step forward? I know personally, I always have a tendency to question after the fact. Is that not a human thing? The human condition.
Tell him.
Come on, preacher.
Church. And with that said, then God finally guides your hand.
Right.
Odin, Jesus, he reveals himself.
Come on, preacher.
So I think, and that's where we're going to be at. We'll get to that. We'll get to the God revelation.
Almost. I love it. Did you go to church with us right there? We just went to church.
Yaku.
No, I was listening to Steve. No, I didn't go to church with you guys.
Yaku's like,
what did Steve say? Steve is like, same.
He said, preach it. Something about that.
Preach it. How about that?
The Viking Buddha. That's right, Tiffany. That was King Olaf. So I love, and King Olaf walked in with his, like, speaking of pimp, like his pimp fur and his earrings. I love Olaf. That's my boy. And he walked chilling. In and he was like, I don't know. I guess this is the right plan, but I guess we'll see. And then he just, like, very Buddha-like, just, like, keeps on walking forward, you know.
Well, that was a very Buddhist response. Like, we shall find. I don't know, but we'll see.
We'll see.
And then laughs and walks off. And then the previous episode, someone commented that, you know, did you know that the Buddha laugh is a thing?
We were talking about that last week. Yeah.
No.
The laugh. So when Vitzek saw him for the first time, the Buddha laughed out loud in the sauna. And when Vitzek saw the guy, then Vitzek saw the guy in the mud streets. See, we read your comments. That's why I know these things. When Vitzek saw the guy in the street in Kattegat for the first time, when he told him about the Buddha, he also started laughing out loud. So this is like, they call it the enlightened laugh, or someone that, a being that is so enlightened that a common response is just laughter.
Just to laugh.
And so he did it again. He's just like, well, we'll see. I don't know if I made the right choice. And like,
there are multiple images of Buddha, and you see him kind of like with his tummy out. But my favorite image is the one of Buddha with his hands in the air. Like, you can't really figure it out. Like, it is what it is. Life's a joke, and you know, it's... And like they're saying, who knows what the gods have in plan for you? He can't call it. But again, that's my favorite image of the Buddha. And that's what I loved about it.
I don't know if I have a favorite image of the Buddha. But that's good to know. I thought it was the only one.
No, it's hands in the air, man.
Right.
Like, it just don't care.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Ain't nothing but a party with Buddha.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but a party with Buddha.
Ain't nothing but a party with Yaku.
Guys. So these two storylines come together, right? Which is where it gets exciting. Because once again, you called it out in the comments, in the live chat. You called it out last week. You said, I want... Well, maybe it was you. I don't know. You did. It was you, Al. Good job. Okay. He said that Vitzek and Bjorn... are gonna go together and attack. Didn't you say that?
I did say that, but I thought it was gonna be done a little bit more artfully. Did you guys feel it was more kind of like happenstance? Oh, the gods brought us together by that. Did that bother you, or you were cool with that?
Because I mean,
they just end up shipwrecked on the same island.
It came out the blue.
Yeah,
they were just like, oh hey. Like, Bjorn walks in and you like Vitzerk is like eating some chicken or whatever.
He's like, hey,
Bjorn.
I know God will brought us together. You know.
Right, like, I mean, I get that the show is ending after next season. But like, that was fast. Like, they're like, let's bring it together quick. All right.
So cool. What do you all think about? There I go again, saying you all.
Y'all.
What do you guys think about the colors of Olaf's army, that black and red? Did you guys notice that?
Good eye. Yes.
On the
good
shields?
Eye. Yes.
Very dangerous, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very, like,
just
hellish.
Thought I'd mention that. Yeah. Of all the Viking colors, I like that the most.
The black and red. All right, so these guys come together. They're like, we love each other because we're both going to go kill Ivar. Well, Vitserk was like...
It's his fate.
Yeah. Yeah, it is my fate. Destiny.
And thank God he's found his destiny because he's been kind of searching, man. He's been playing second, third fiddle all this time.
He has been. And to HFG, was this you? Yeah, in the comments, HFG. I'm looking off on my phone because I'm reading your comments, guys. HFG was saying that Vitserk was very convincing this episode. His acting is getting better. I, every single episode, 100% agree with you with almost every single person. Even like Lagertha, who's been around forever. I feel like the nuances of her acting are getting much better. All of the Ragnar boys.
Yeah.
I thought Uba was amazing this episode.
Development. Yeah.
Totally. Even like Torvi.
But not just amazing acting, which is definitely what's happening, but it's also that essence of Ragnar in him. The kind of way he leans back and kind of looks at the side of his eye.
Yes.
And, you know.
We were talking about like glimpses of Ragnar and his sons. But and it's, let's call it what it is, too. The writer's also giving them all the brothers more to do. So.
Yes, very much. Like in the fight, I thought he looked just like Ragnar in the fight, which we'll get
to. And what a way to bring Ragnar back into the story.
Yep.
So subtly. And we're talking about him the whole time. It's amazing.
Mm. Oh, he's still around.
Ragnar's ghost hovers over the holes.
All right, we're done with those. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, nice. Got it in front of the camera. So next, we will, I guess we have descended upon Katakut, so we will talk about that first. We're going to back up Katakut just a little bit, though, because a little bit we got to cover while we're in Katakut, including, man, if you didn't hate Ivar before, like I think a few weeks ago, last time I was on, I was like, you know what?
You mean after he burned the people alive? If you didn't hate, if you didn't hate him more after that?
No, that didn't bother me.
Or after he killed his brother?
No, I didn't hate him then.
No, right. Not after all those things. But
or you remember that one time he killed the seer?
When he's getting old anyway.
What about the time he slit the fake leg off Thar's throat and for no reason?
Yeah, I remember that one.
That
was nothing.
So, if you had no reason to hate Ivar, I feel like this one, you knew this was going to come out, but he, like, gets at Freydis, and he's like,
he's angry, James.
Actually my child in the first place? And one person's acting who I was not convinced of this episode, it was Freydis. She was like, yeah, it was totally your child. What did you do with our baby?
You didn't buy it? Well, here's where I did buy it. I understand what you're saying, but I did buy that little look on the end when they kind of linger on her, like, she's not going to take this lying down. This is not the last we've heard from her. She's going to get hurt.
Well, she did give a look there after the whole infringement with him choking her and slapping her and telling me, why are you lying to me and tell me the truth? She gave a look there.
Which, I'm not going to get you now, but I'm going to get you later.
Yeah, basically, this isn't over.
Yeah,
because I've mind effed you this whole time in any way, so I'm just wait for what's
I'm happening. The one that got you here,
and it is true.
Right? It was her idea.
Well,
her
not
vision.
That the year is a good place by any means, because he's isolated. Everybody's against him now at this point. His shit's crumbling for him.
Mm-hmm. Which also, what I love, I was looking forward. Ivar, he's been anointed by kind of darkness, but anointed nevertheless. Like, the gods have been with him in victory in all his battles. He's the one who reigns Katakut. All the brothers have scattered. He gets the wife and, you know, this supposed child. But we're finally starting to see cracks in his armor. Like, did you guys notice when he comes limping into Katakut? It wasn't a normal, like, swagger or walk.
No, he was falling.
He was literally dripping. Falling, and that's the first time, you know, you get to see him kind of, like, wounded and kind of open and realize that he has this infirmity.
Yeah. And he also gets irritated. He loses his temper. Yeah. I just want to call this out real quick. So we said all the bad things that Ivar did, and then Merlis says, by the way, and he killed his own baby.
Oh, that's
by the way.
Right. We are in the game.
I almost forgot about that.
We forgot about that part. He killed his own
and
child.
That
wasn't too cool. Yeah, he lost his cool then.
Yeah. Just a little. Yeah. But he, you know, that whole parallels with like what Ragnar did in season one with Ivar, right? And took him out of the woods.
But
then Ragnar didn't end up leaving him.
That's right? What we were talking about last week. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this makes even a difference. Do you guys think that, or do you remember if Ivar even bothered to put the child out of his misery? Did he just leave him?
No, he cried.
He was crying while he was walking away.
Oh,
yeah, he just
man.
This child was half eaten by foxes, dragged into a den.
Oh man, what a horrible death.
I mean, now Ivaris Yeris, so this is happening. Shit's hit the fan. So now he needs to explain what's going on. And he's bringing the whole of Kattegat into his hall, and he's giving them three reasons. He's saying, I love my child. And Freydis gives him the side eye. Cue the side eye.
All kinds of side eye, right.
The gods cut his life short, and we said, but maybe for the mother it's difficult because you had to bear him. There we just want to slap him around. And then saying, like, well, we have to accept the god's fate. So he's once again just such a good speaker. He's bullshitting people. And what do people do? And then obviously he's talking about Kattegat and defending it and shit, but people are clapping. They're cheering
they
for
eat
him.
It up.
And he's so good at blaming things on it was just God's will.
God, right.
Wasn't me that killed him. It was God killed him.
I had all kind of just issue with just, you know, just choose, pick religion. Just throw whatever you want at religion. If something's good, I'm going to throw it at religion. If something's bad, I'm going to throw it at religion.
Message!
But I won't go there. There's no parallels to 2019, just saying. Yeah. I actually thought in that he was going to say, and we have to follow what the gods want to do. I actually thought he was going to do something to Freydis, like in that moment.
I thought he was going to kill her.
Yeah. Like knife to the neck, or he was like, and to appease the gods, we have to have a human sacrifice.
Been, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but that would have been too much.
I like the slitting that Steve put in.
But so he's saying, so Witzig is not here. We are supposed to return with the army from King Olaf. He's gone. Bjorn and Harald abandoned York. He doesn't know that they're attacking him.
Correct.
Okay, but he does know there's something.
He knows something's up.
Once again, if I'm wrong, then I'm sorry. Please call it out in the comments. But it doesn't sound like he does, but he does know that shit's happening. He's saying, well, instead of attacking, we're going to stay here and we're going to defend our own. But this is something I want to call out to you guys and to you. That he said that anybody that attacks Kattegat is going to get destroyed, or Kattegat is, you know, stronger and all that. But he spoke in the sense that, like, he is Kattegat, that the Kattegat belongs to him.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. I also think that anybody that attacks Kattegat won't survive. But I feel Ivar doesn't understand it is that he isn't Kattegat. Like, if Lagerfeld was sitting there, I would agree. If Bjorn was sitting there, I would agree, but not if Ivar.
I hate to say it, but I think the seer called it when they were asking what's going to happen. He was just like, darkness, darkness, blood, darkness. Like, are there really any winners, you know, after, like, you have a big, you know, apocalyptic war?
Yeah, the king
war?
Of Kattegat, whoever ends up king of Kattegat's the winner.
But what are they, but what are they left
but
with?
But at what cost?
Yeah,
right?
at what cost?
Of course. A big bloody cost.
Yeah. I like what you're saying, though, in terms of, and I think that draws into, Al, what you said about, like, you know, you agree that there is, Kattegat is always going to win. There's an essence. There's a spirit. There's a something. There's a je ne sais something about Kattegat itself, regardless of who the leader is. The Kattegat is always going to survive. Like, don't attack us. But in that moment, Ivar thinks he is Kattegat. He thinks he's even bigger than Kattegat,
exactly.
Right?
And that's the problem.
That is the problem there. And because of that, he's going to bring on that darkness. To Kattegat, because he literally has people who would die for Kattegat coming to attack Kattegat because of him, right? Mm-hmm. So the seer's right, your sentiment towards this, Yaku, is right. Like, I feel like this is why we're building up this whole probably season-long battle in Kattegat, is one of my guesses.
I've got a few comments I want to call out here, James, and then I think Al, you have a message for us as well. But Tiffany is saying, I wanted to bitch slap Ivar. No, she didn't say that. I wanted to pimp slap Ivar lying at the, I can't read anymore. And then Merle is saying the Donald Trump of Vikings. And then Emily is saying, yes, Ivar is crazy and a dictator, but you can hate on his skill when it comes to battle. Crocodile style.
Dude, the
do you remember
rolling?
That in Wessex?
Yeah, that is intense. You cannot hate on his style for sure.
And you know who has style and skill? AfterBuzz,
yeah,
and us. You know our style and skill.
Okay, wait, can I just say,
you like that segue,
Al? You know that woman got 10 out of 10 on her floor routine from UCLA gymnastics?
Yes.
Al just killed this transition. Love it. He was like triple style cow into the jump, and then he boom, stuck the landing.
10, 10, 10. Thank you. You are far too kind. You're far too kind.
Touch
so, guys, so. Before we go on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Work. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. We need all you guys to subscribe here to us on YouTube. We need you guys to give us a rating on iTunes, and please make it. We prefer that it's a high rating, a favorable rating, but go to iTunes and rate us down
five
there. You got to give us all the stars.
Five stars.
Yes.
Five stars.
And also, please leave a comment, because all that interaction only boosts our ratings and enables us to continue to be the ESPN of TV Talk. Five star, five star. And guess what, guys? Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to me because it's extended family. Family. Brother from another mother.
Right.
Extended young half-black.
Old half-black, young half-black, new
young
half-black.
Black. Yeah, yep, yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you guys out there. You guys out in the chat. So it's bringing us all together. And when we love meeting it like this every week, it's all community. So thank you all for supporting us in doing what we love.
Thank you. Jesus, thank you, Alan.
Very good, Al. And you are HFG, you are right. HFG was an insert obligatory AfterBuzz ad. We got to pay some bills.
Hopefully we slipped it in naturally.
Right, y'all got to subscribe. And, I mean, if Al's going to transition like that every week with
you
these ads, come on now, you're killing
me. You said back, you have to listen.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we continue on to our last storyline. Wait. Yeah. They run into each other. Ivar gives this bullshit-ass speech. Ivar, Odin. Ivar, Odin.
Dodge, James.
Damn it.
Oh, you got James. No, too late. James dead.
That reminds me of, you guys seen that meme where the guy goes, boom, and then Cookie Monster goes, boom. You know what I mean? I'm talking about,
have
you
seen
that one? You guys got
to
look up that meme, okay? When you're done watching us. So, in Wessex.
I don't know what meme you're talking about.
You gotta go look. Look, it's called the Cookie Monster Head Tilt. Google that. You will crack up laughing.
Is that like the Drake meme? Have you guys seen that one?
Steve wants us to stay on
off
target.
Off the wheels.
Wessex. We're gonna start this off. It's not in Wessex. It's up north in England, where Uba has decided that he's like, we're gonna fight to the death. Frodo. I can't.
Poor Frodo.
Poor guy's name is Frodo.
Oh, he kind of looks like Frodo as well.
Every time I know. But, you know.
Kind of hairy.
He does.
Right. Poor taller, Frodo. Though. Taller.
Much taller and much taller. Redder.
You say he's taller, but you don't really know. You don't really know how tall these people are on average.
That's true.
Like, they all might be 5 feet tall, and you wouldn't even know.
I mean, you just don't know.
Good point.
So
good
he went
point.
To the Shire to fight Frodo.
Right. He did go to the Shire to fight Frodo. And you know, I love me a face tattoo and a redhead. So I was like, oh, right, Frodo's kind of cute. Never mind. You're about to die. So this fight happens, and this was a bloody, nasty, horrible, awful fight, and we kind of knew this was exactly how it was going to go, except the key moment in this whole fight was Uba about to go down, praise to Odin.
Yeah, he fills himself, his spirit with Odin, of all people, gods.
That's crazy.
After supposedly, you know, being baptized a Christian and all that.
Well, we find out at the end, obviously, that he just wanted what he wanted, which is great.
But I think he needed to say that out loud to realize to himself, right?
True. But here's my thing. So he's lying on the ground. He's half dead. Like, Odin, you know, help me. And then he does kill the guy. But then who actually helps him? Thorvi.
Oh.
The guy could have killed him.
You mean that's the other guy
right.
jumping
the
in the
other
fight.
Random guy. And then Thorvi's like...
Wait, well, first of all, where did that sword come from that fast? I mean, it's like Torvi pulled that sword out of nowhere. She was just like, shing, shing.
Well, she is a Viking.
Right.
She has a man's back.
She was like a badass shield maiden. Like, don't get me wrong. But that's true. But I don't think that Torvi has ever let go of her old ways. Like, look how happy she was. Later on, like, you know, I'm going to fast forward. Later on, Uba wakes up and he's like, I'm not Christian. Forget this cross. I like the old ways. And do you see how happy she was? She was all smiley and cuddly and like super excited that he was in the old ways. Because I think throughout this whole season, we haven't been completely convinced that Torvi was actually wanting to be Christian. She was just going along with it because I think she knew this is what they had to do.
Agreed. Yep. They did look at it strategically when they got there saying, okay, we're probably going to have to do this just so that we survive and not spend our...
You called it out the whole time, Steve.
Yep. And I agree with you, Laura Lee, in
no,
the comments. Torvi is badass. I think Torvi is, she's not an opportunist like Freydis, for instance, or some of the other women we've seen. But I think that Torvi, or people in general, but I think Torvi she just knows. She's just very, very, very intelligent. She gets the politics of the game. She can fight.
And she's a badass.
She's a badass. She really does love Uba. Like, I've always been down with Torvi.
And dare we say that Torvi, she's a true believer in that she still has integrity in spite of strategizing.
Right.
Versus other people we see, like Freydis, you know, she's a hell of a strategizer, manipulator. But do we really empathize with her because she seems to have zero integrity or zero character?
Right.
Yep. Right.
Agreed.
I agree. Tiffany is saying Torvi is a ride or die Viking.
Ride or die.
And this brings us to, and I know Tiffany, you've said this twice now in the comments. Rip to Alfred, Queen, Mother Judith.
Right. Speaking of ride or die, R.I.P. to Judith. Because, yes. And listen, you know who the most ride or die person in the entire show ever is?
We've said that
right?
A few times, James. You literally said that sentence.
Like, ride or die
about Judith.
About Judith, right? Yeah. But. Yeah. But I love how, like, Alfred is crying. This moment was something to me. I feel like this is... Okay, so for those of you who don't know, and I only bring this up because it is sort of important. There's sometimes... My dad is black, my mom is white. And then sometimes you have a bunch of aunties in your life. Like, a lot of black folks have, like, a lot of aunties around, right? And they might not actually be your auntie. It might be some woman in the church who helped raise you or your neighbor or whatever, but she's an auntie, right? It's sometimes that auntie will come up and will read you in the middle of something and tell you some shit that you need to hear in that moment, but you didn't even realize you needed to hear it because you all in your own emotions or whatever. I felt like, I mean, Alfred's mother just died, right? Yeah. And they were maybe a little too close. But Alfred was all super sad that Judith just died of her very, very rapid breast cancer, by the way. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Lagertha comes up, and I got that auntie feeling.
Yeah.
Lagertha comes up, and she's like, don't cry too much. This woman put her life on the line for you. She made sure you were king. She made sure you held onto that throne. And now, don't cry. You better get to hanging onto that throne. You better, like, live up to her legacy or whatever. Damn. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh, Lagertha just went auntie on her.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I like Lagertha's going to auntie role. She's clearly going to be taking on the new matriarchal role, but from an auntie position.
Right.
Yeah.
But you guys are saying auntie. I saw it in the comments. I was like, I have no idea what you guys are saying.
You don't have an auntie?
I do have an auntie, right. But I was like, oh.
That's what we call some kind of weird.
No, I got you. No, I agree 100%. Like a slapping. So he said, you have to be a great king. And so the pressure is now on. No pressure at all. But then she herself is auntieing herself. She's getting her own like vision, like what happened. And this is, I must say, James, you weren't here last week, but we had like a glitch. We don't really know exactly what happened after... In the scene where Judith got the visions of Ragnar and all that. And so I feel like this kind of explains what actually happened to her after the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. With the witch lady.
Yeah.
Like taking care of her. Except I don't even, to your point, I guess I didn't even really feel like they explained that all the way. Because when Judith found Lagertha...
Judith was at the witch lady.
Judith was at the witch lady. But remember Lagertha, she was like, that feral woman... Ignore her, right? And Lagertha was all crazy. Well, maybe they'll get to that next episode, but at this point, Lagertha's still laying in bed thinking she was maybe in Catacut, and the witch like cuts off her hair and she's like, nope, time for a new life, boo. But Lagertha's not acting crazy at that point. But
so,
last
so
week,
all that we missed.
Yeah, this like crazy. When does Lagertha get crazy and start acting feral? You know, we missed that.
Yeah, or either they're just kind of like they're kind of yada yada yadding it right onto the next thing.
Word.
I guess which is fine to me. I understand what you guys are saying. It was kind of jarring, especially literally because we had a jar in the tape. But I kind of accepted. Okay, this is going to have to be like a spiritual transition that we're going to have to go with.
Yep. For sure. I want to get to you guys' comments here because a couple of you guys were agreeing with me. Yeah, Judith's death was way too quick, especially for such a main character. I feel like this is maybe a little tiny bit indicative of the show's attempt to kind of stick a little bit with history, as well as like, we got to hurry the story along because we're done after next season. Judith died. Merle, Judith died. She thought she had breast cancer last week. And all of a sudden, she just died, like, right away early in the episode. Yeah. She just, like, died.
Before she died, she turned her head, gave Alfred a look.
Yep.
Just to explain it.
That's true.
And then turned, and then very, I want to say obnoxiously is probably not the right word, but it was like...
Like the final
okay, I'm giving my last breath, everybody, so just, I'm dead now.
Can I say this, guys? Am I going out on a limb with that final breath? Didn't we see a similar thing when, Uber was fighting Frodo, and even on the subtext when Uber stabs him to death, on the Chiron, on the caption, it literally says Frodo gives his last breath, and then what's her name comes in, Torvi comes in and says Ube is the winner. I thought that was all kind of weird and kind of mystical and kind of like playing with our expectations.
Definitely not going on a limb. Like I completely, okay.
yeah. It made you go too.
Yeah, absolutely. Go, now they're saying okay. It. Yeah, it's okay. Definitely a connection. Everything I feel like in this thing is something like that.
Very, very for much sure. A connection. All right, so we talked about the witch. We talked about Judah died. Uba is super sick, but Torvi is like right there, of course, ride or die. Like we've talked about, Uba all of a sudden like wakes up and he's basically like, "Give me that cross."
And he throws it away.
Because I'm going to tell you how much I don't like it. Throw that cross away, right, Yaku?
See this cross.
But that's about it. But then a quick scene there where the Vikings is making it to their new lands.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. So at this point, they're all marching side by side, the English and the Vikings, whatnot, and getting to their new lands. And Alfred is right in the front. So if someone wanted to take a cheap shot, they could have done it, but they didn't. I'm just saying. And then he said something interesting. He said, "May both of our gods bless these lands." So it's not like, you guys come here, pagans, you will revert to Christianity and to be here. It's like, he's a very smooth talker. He's politically correct. He's like, you both are gods, like we're all friends here. Enjoy.
Right. And he slid in that peace thing at the end too. May all of our people live together peacefully or like whatever, right? He's like, peace forever
FYI.
In the future. Right, please y'all don't come. This is it. We didn't give y'all this land.
But if this goes south again, he's not giving another chance. Like, and then Lagerfrau, the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scene. Isn't this what this whole story is about? Them getting, like, from the
very... Carry on Ragnar's dream, right?
Like, from the first episode of Vikings. Totally. Like, Ragnar's vision of going to Europe. It just happened.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That was
Season 5, episode 19.
Bam.
And that building up is what kind of the word of this episode, episode 19. And you guys get to that in the comments. Jeff Trexler, I'm really with you. You said something about I loving the build up in this episode. Alan Zepeda, that was funny. Judas' last words, always wear clean underwear. It's Albert.
It's hilarious.
Right, she had to get it in there.
Super Banana saying, I'm bummed they didn't give us a preview of next week, which is completely fine because now we get to make real predictions for number one. And number two, we have no idea what's going to happen, which is awesome.
It is.
Because that gives so much away in the previews.
I know. That's it. Oh, I think basically the last scene that we need to make abundantly clear that I think is so incredibly exciting. And next week, you guys are saying it in the comments right now, next week is going to be in freaking insane. I feel like, you know where I went back to? I'm old. So, like, wrestling was, like, a thing.
There WWF.
Was
just,
it was WWF back in then, right? And there was only, like, one. And there was only, like, two events a year. And one of them was, like, WrestleMania, right? And you remember the first time that, like, more than one person jumped in the ring and you, like, freaked out? Oh, my God. Now, like, everybody and their literal grandmother is in the ring. But
tag team.
So the first time, like, Hulk Hogan or Macho Randy Man Savage or whatever was in the ring and then a third person came in, you were like, oh, my God, this is wrestling is never going to get better, right?
James, I got two words for you.
Uh-huh.
Battle Royale.
Right. That's next week, Steve. Battle Royale is right because Lagerthur was like, it's time to go home. Uba was like, it's time to go home. Torvi was like, it's time to go home. Yeah. Bjorn and Vitsik just randomly showed up in the same place together. And King Olaf is like, well, I might as well join the party. King Harald is like, maybe I can actually still be king. Like, everybody's coming back to Catacut.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the all-star game championship.
Right.
And there can only be one king in there. Mm. So it's going to be interesting.
So interesting is your prediction, Yaku. Who is gonna be king?
Yes, that's
and now, my prediction. You're after Buzz TV.
Prediction. I like how they do such a dramatic pause. Now you're so after Buzz. Pause. Predictions. Before we get to predictions, I want to just wrap up last week's fact or fiction. Vikings were large and heavily muscled, James. They were large men. And women, no, don't you dare, James Simmons. Don't you dare. And heavily muscled. What do you think?
As much as I would like to think that they were all large and heavily muscled and super hurry and like had tattoos everywhere and just like, hey. No, actually, I don't think they were probably very large people at all.
What do you think?
I don't know. I have no idea, but just to make things interesting, I'm just going to say the opposite and contrary of what you said. Maybe they were.
So I'm fiction, you're fact, right? All right.
This fiction is fact. So there's actually there's fact and fiction in the comments last week because of this fact or fiction. And the truth is, and I don't have my phone with me, but I know the answer, is that they weren't very large. They weren't very muscled. They were hunters. They were gatherers. They didn't obviously have a ton of food lying around. Not like, you know, King right. Olaf, like with right. big tummies. So they were actually very small. I also don't think they were that tall. But here I will definitely be corrected by the professor from Denmark. So please correct me and let us know.
Right. And but again, before we get into prediction, we have like 60 seconds to get this done. We thank you guys for the live comments. Emily, good night. And the comments afterwards. We get to those. We read those podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week is a final episode of this season. Al, 10 seconds. Prediction.
Predictions. I believe that Floki is going to go through a resurrection because that fire he was baptized in thing. And I think he's going to come out on the other end back on Odin's team and something significant, maybe pointing him back to Kattegat.
Right. Words. Yucca Vinnings.
Mine is in time with yours. I don't know about the resurrection, but this scene that's going to play off in Kattegat next week, guess he's going to show up and throw his hat into the ring as well. Floki.
Yeah, there we go. Right.
I think we said something very similar.
My prediction, no one who we think is going to be like Game of Thrones, no one who we think is going to be king or queen is going to be. It's not expected. I think Torvi is queen.
That's it.
Wow. That's my girl. Thank you guys so very much. We love you tuning in. Thank you in the live comments. Thank you in the comments afterwards. The podcast, of course, this show is all about you guys and our conversation with you. We love you so much. Thanks for tuning in to Vikings After Show. My name is James. Instagram, AskTheNP. Fellas.
Got a new quick message for you guys. You can find my IG and contact info below. But just a quick FYI, my film directorial debut, Jamaica House, is screening in 2 weeks. And you can get tickets at PAFF.org, PAFF.org, for the Pan-African Film Festival. The film's called Jamaica House. Thanks, guys.
Jamaica House. That's awesome. My name is Yaku. You guys can catch me at YakuVinnings.com. No, never mind that. GrapeUnknown.com. GrapeUnknown.com. If you love wine, I'm all about wine. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Yaku Vinnings. Bye!
Good night, guys.
We love,
you
guys. Ciao.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.